Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. And Chris, it's great to be with you. I'm wondering, has snow fallen in your neck of the woods yet?
We're due for a wintry mix tonight into tomorrow, but we'll see. You know, the temperature dropped this morning from 50 down to around 20, from 50 yesterday to around 20.
Wow.
And I was just remarking to my wife that if I still owned the old cars that I used to drive, today would be a good day for me to be replacing a thermostat or a water pump in those cars, because it always seemed like the temperature change gave them a hard time. But how are things on your side of the world?
Things are good. I'm curious as to how your electric Prologue will go through the winter, and you'll report on that. Let's talk about what's going on this week in the news and what we're going to talk about on the show. Volkswagen and Rivian have entered into a strategic partnership. They've solidified that. We talked about that on the show a little earlier. We'll tell you what that could mean for both of those brands. Honda's pulled the wraps off the new 2026 Passport SUV. And we'll give you the details on that. That's a pretty cool-looking vehicle, I think. Waymo is expanding its robo-taxi effort in Los Angeles. At the same time, Tesla is facing some regulatory hurdles in its robo-taxi effort, so we'll talk about that. And while we're speaking about technology, there's one prominent player that's suggesting that automakers say goodbye to the cloud and embrace onboard computing and tech. Kind of a back-to-the-future thing. We'll talk about that. Chris, on the robo-taxi thing, where do you think that's going to go? Does that make any sense for you where you live?
Not where I live. I could see denser urban areas having a lot more luck with it, which they have. But we'll have to see how the regulatory environment changes and how progress is made before I make any concrete statements, Jack.
America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as your longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other, and we get together to talk about the cars we've driven during the week, among other things. And Chris, what is the road test car you have this week?
I drove the 2025 Acura ZDX. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I look forward to hearing that. I had a really cool car, the Genesis GV70, and I'll talk about that. Our special guest is Srini Rajagopalan, who is head of OEM customer success at J.D. Power. We're going to talk about the rollout of EVs. So we have a ton of show for you this week. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Shop early. Save big. All month long during Black Friday buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Find what you love. Love what you find. A Total Wine and More. There's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer. Thousands of wines. Guides in the know. When price is so low, it just might blow your mind. Find.
Now open in Rochester Hills at Winchester Center, next to Dick's Sporting Goods. Drink responsibly, B21.
Check, check, and check. That's the sound of me getting a jump start on my holiday list. But I can't take all the credit. Kohl's makes it too easy. I got my daughter a mini instant camera, my husband some cologne, my sister cozy slippers, and that's just the beginning. Then I got 20% off other gifts, $10 off $25 spent, and earned Kohl's cash. Thank you, Kohl's. Select styles. $10 off $25 offer ends November 11th. 20% offer ends November 23rd. Coupons do not apply to tech and Sephora at Kohl's. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays, and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 11/16, in-store only.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
This holiday season, Straight Talk Wireless is letting you say yes a lot more with real unlimited data. Yes to sharing pics of the ugliest holiday sweaters. Yes to checking weather on the go for surprise sledding trips. Yeah. And with a free phone at sign up, let the yes-tivities begin.
No way!
Yes way. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart or straighttalk.com. Offer valid through 1/5/25 while supplies last at participating stores. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation on select single-line plans. Limit of 2 phones per customer. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nierad back with you. And it is news time and tons of news out there. I mean, the auto industry is full of news, full of stuff happening. And some brands are struggling, some brands are doing well. But let's talk about two that maybe are challenged, might we say, Chris. Volkswagen and Rivian have started a strategic partnership. This collaboration provides VW access to Rivian's advanced onboard computing and software technology. One would think Volkswagen would be able to do that, but apparently this is a shortcut to that. They want to keep pace with Tesla, of course. Rivian gained some kind of financial lifeline, maybe a big one, because they're burning money like it's cordwood out there. What's your take?
Yeah, I think this is one of the more sensible sort of industry partnerships we've seen. As you mentioned, Rivian needs money to get its next vehicle lines off the factory floor, right? They've got a whole new product line. Jeez, I can't talk today. Coming out in the next couple of years, and as you mentioned, Volkswagen has struggled with its software. It even caused delays of like the Porsche Macan EV and some other vehicles. So I see it as a win-win as long as you know Rivian can hold up its end to get the funding.
Yeah, getting funding is good. Volkswagen has its own problems, I guess, and is looking to close factories, but it aims to integrate Rivian's technology into 5.7 million vehicles by 2027. So that's a ton of vehicles. Digital capabilities are becoming more and more important. So I guess we'll see how that goes. I think all the electric makers are struggling. And here's two getting together.
Yeah.
You know what they say, Chris. Misery loves a company. But hopefully things will work out well for them.
Agreed.
I'm curious about your reaction to the 2026 Honda Passport that has just been introduced to the marketplace. Honda has shown it, at least. It's pretty cool and much more, quote-unquote, rugged and adventurous than before. What's your quick armchair look at that thing?
Yeah, I'm happy they leaned into that sort of rugged attitude. I've always liked the Passport. It always felt a little bit like a Pilot Lite, though, as opposed to, you know, kind of something you could actually take off-road. And, you know, it's still kind of the same thing. It has all-wheel drive and not four-wheel drive, but it's beefier, it's wider, and it certainly looks the part more than before. So I'm on board with this.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does look the part. And they put some pretty good stuff on it. I mean, they've changed the suspension somewhat. I bet it has some more ground clearance than before. It does have all-terrain tires, which are crucial. Skid plates, steel skid plates, so you can hang your hat on that. It has the Trail Watch camera system that lets you see what's going on up ahead of you, up ahead of the wheels, which is pretty cool. It's interesting to me that they are sticking with the tried and true, shall we say, 3.5-liter V6 engine, 285 horsepower. I mean, that's been around maybe since you were a boy, maybe before you were born. I don't know. It seems like it's been forever, 10-speed automatic transmission. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, I actually owned a 2014 Honda Pilot with that engine. We've seen it in the Odyssey and the Passport, the Pilot, the Ridgeline, all the others. You know, I can see this. I mean, like, if this is what it takes for us to get a kind of an off-road SUV from Honda, I'm fine with them sticking with it. And it's a fine engine. You know, it's not the quickest or the most efficient, but it makes a good sound.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, it also has this all-wheel drive system. It doesn't have a two-speed transfer case or that kind of thing. So it's maybe not the heaviest off-roader out there, but I think Honda comes up with some pretty ingenious technical solutions. So this should work pretty well. More room inside, more space, increased rear leg room, which is good, more cargo capacity. And I think they've really teed up their infotainment system, dialed that up pretty big time with a 12.3-inch touchscreen, Google built-in. I mean, Google built-in is becoming ubiquitous, and it's everywhere on top of that.
Yeah, it's also made Honda's infotainment system much better. You know, the old system in the Passport, I wanted to say Prologue, I'm stuck in EV mode, was a little clunky. It had that dark interface where it was hard to figure out where you needed to go and what you needed to tap. So I'm on board with this too. And, you know, the bigger screen is only, I mean, it helps navigation, even if you don't love screens.
Yeah. I like the look of this vehicle. I think it's one of the best Honda designs I've seen in a long, long time. I think, you know, pretty masculine, not that they, masculine equals great design, but I think that it works well for this type of vehicle. And I think they're going to do quite well with this.
I agree.
Well, let's talk about robo-taxis. Waymo is expanding its robo-taxi effort right here in my neck of the woods. They're going to add 80 square miles of coverage in Southern California in the Los Angeles area, maybe extending service to as many as 300,000 more Los Angeles residents than have done it before. They're hoping to grow from 150,000 weekly rides, which is kind of a mind-boggling number, by adding adding Phoenix and San Francisco. What is like Phoenix? Well, maybe Tucson? I don't know. But in any case, they're adding cities. And, I mean, your take on that?
I mean, so they're expanding, and I get it. I guess, you know, it could be a viable business model. I'm still stuck in this, and I was just thinking about this. Who is asking for robo-taxis? Who among us is standing up and saying, I don't like Lyft, I don't like Uber, I don't like the yellow cab, I don't like driving myself, I want something without a driver? You know, the novelty there might be part of it. But if it's what it takes to get more transportation for people who need it, I guess that's a good thing for everyone.
I think the overarching goal is to eliminate personal cars. I mean, some people think that way, and I think when you consider the fact that your personal vehicle, my personal vehicle, your personal, everybody's personal vehicle is only used like 5% of the time, that maybe jogs people into thinking, well, if we used these more often or we shared cars. But that begs the question, the reason people have personal transportation is because they want to go right then and there, and they're willing to pay for that convenience, and they're willing to let something sit in their driveway, you know, soaking up money and not being used for those times when they do use it. And it's worked out quite well for the better part of 100 years. So I think they might be missing.
I get that. You know, I think that these programs, I mean, look, so that might be one of the goals. They're also saying they want to reduce collisions and human error and all those things. But as we've talked about many times, I think they're still kind of way far off that mark in terms of reaching the human brain's ability to take in and compute and parse, you know, thousands of bits of information every minute. So we'll see. But I think there's a lot of regulatory hurdles left to clear before they expand out of your neck of the woods.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Tesla is finding out that right now. I mean, there are major, major hurdles to anybody who's putting out a vehicle that doesn't have a steering wheel, for example. They can only deploy anybody, not just Tesla, but Tesla's facing this, 2,500 vehicles annually in that kind of situation. I mean, and that's not nearly the kind of volume that Elon Musk wants to do going forward. So we'll have to see how that unfolds. And I think getting exemptions from the state of California, maybe Elon might run into some problems there. I don't know. Maybe a political hurdle or two to jump, maybe.
Well, I'm not sure the political hurdles are going to be his problem too much longer, but we'll see how that goes. You know, I think it's
interesting. Yeah, I think they might be in California, People's Republic of California.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about this software-defined vehicle thing, because I think this is pretty interesting. Qualcomm has suggested that the ongoing software-defined vehicle will have a ton of computing power on board, AI on board, and not rely on the cloud. And, up till now, we've talked heavily about and been talked up about why the cloud is so great. This is kind of an interesting turnabout, isn't it?
It is, and it's timely, too. We've been talking, or the industry has been talking about cybersecurity and connecting vehicles to the cloud for a while now. And, you know, there are a lot of concerns around how that data is being used. So if you're kind of localizing that processing into the vehicle itself, I could see that being a positive thing. Now, that kind of kills subscription models and all the things that these automakers have been talking about for a while now. But if it cuts some of that inconvenience and processing time, I guess, yeah, a great thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that. I think it's kind of an interesting turnabout on what we've been told about this. Well, when we come back, we will be road testing some pretty cool vehicles. Chris, what are you going to road test for us this week?
The 2025 Acura ZDX Type S. I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I look forward to hearing about that. I have the Genesis G70 to talk about. So stay with us, and we will be right back right here on America on the Road.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jackie Radback. We're here. We're so glad you're with us. We really do appreciate you listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices, so we're very appreciative about the fact you're listening to America on the Road. And it is road test time. Something we love to do is drive other people's cars, other manufacturers' cars, and then tell you about them. And Chris, a fascinating vehicle you have this time around, the Acura ZDX Type S. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, Jack. As you know, and our listeners know, I own or bought a Honda Prologue a little earlier this year, and this is the Acura version of that vehicle, which itself is built by General Motors and is a version of the Chevrolet Equinox EV and the Cadillac Lyriq and a bunch of other vehicles that are kind of share the same architecture. But very interesting compared to the Prologue here, and I want to get your opinion in just a minute, but you can get the 2025 model in three trims. It starts in the mid-$60,000 range. My Type S is the range-topping model, and it's around $76,000 or so before taxes and options. Jack, have you driven the ZDX?
I have not driven the ZDX. I drove the Prologue most recently in North American Car of the Year testing a couple of weeks ago in Ann Arbor. So I probably have a feel for it, and I bet you're going to tell me they're pretty similar.
They are very similar. However, the Type S model I chose or I tested was a little bit more performance-oriented, but I'll get to that in just a minute. So the base model has rear-wheel drive. You get a single electric motor on the rear axle, 358 horsepower, 313 miles of range, which is not too bad for a rear-wheel drive EV these days. The next upgraded model gets two electric motors, so you get all-wheel drive out of this. 490 horsepower and 304 miles of range, so still pretty good range, a lot of horsepower there. My Type S model came with 499 horsepower and 278 miles of range. So, Jack, almost 500 horsepower in a five-seat SUV here, you know it's going to be quick. So 0 to 60 is in the mid-4-second range, which is pretty darn eye-watering for a family vehicle. But it's not, like, shocking. You know, you get into, like, a Genesis GV60 with the boost mode, it kind of makes you feel the blood move in your face a little bit. This isn't quite that abrupt, I'll say, but still very quick and much quicker than our Prologue Elite, which is also a dual motor all-wheel drive version. So Acura pipes in a little bit of fake engine noise here, which I found interesting, but it's very subtle. You just hear a little rumble when you put your foot down, and it does add a little bit to the experience, though I kind of enjoy, if you're driving an AV, I do enjoy the silent treatment of the engine there. The interior is otherwise pretty quiet, Jack. You know, I talk about our road quality here in Maine quite a bit. We haven't had the plows hit the road yet, but they're still quite bumpy. And this vehicle does a good job of soaking up most of that. And it doesn't feel crashy or boomy inside. So there is a good amount of sound deadening in this vehicle. And as I mentioned, the ride quality is good. You know, I think the wheelbase in these vehicles is not exceptionally long, but it is long enough that you do get good stability and decent handling. I mean, I wouldn't take this to a track and expect any, you know, mind-blowing numbers out of lap times or anything, but definitely sportier than the Prologue, and in a good way too. So it's not.
Does it feel heavy, Chris? I mean, you know, these battery electrics have that kind of heavy feel to them, I think, when you're cornering.
It does. And I'll say that you feel it most. And I said this about the Ford Mustang Mach-E too. You feel it most over like speed tables or speed bumps where it feels like the vehicle just doesn't want to go over it so much. You know, you come back down and you feel it there. But it's not. Abrasive in it by any means here. And, you know, like I said, the ride quality is very good. So no complaints. My Type S model had red heated and ventilated perforated leather. So definitely a very sporty looking interior, even if the exterior is kind of Prologue, Honda Prologue-esque. The front seats are wide. They're very nicely padded. And you got a lot of legroom in this vehicle because you don't have the transmission tunnel. And as I mentioned, the wheelbase affords good space inside. You also get an 11-inch digital gauge cluster, an 11.3-inch touchscreen. And this is another one of those Google built-in vehicles we were just talking about in the last segment. So you get Google Maps, Google Assistant, and a lot of other features from that. And it does improve the basic Honda Acura infotainment system, even though you kind of have the General Motors skin on this system. It does look very similar to what you get in the Equinox EV or the Blazer EV. You get an 18-speaker Bang & Olufsen stereo in the Type S, satellite radio, HD radio, ambient interior lighting, You get wireless charging, which is one of the few wireless charging systems I've used that actually works consistently because it holds your phone vertically. And then Acura equips a full suite of advanced safety equipment. You get blind spot monitoring, forward collision alerts, and so on. One thing I do want to mention that the ZDX gets that the Prologue does not in some trims is General Motors Super Cruise. So you can run hands-free, which I've done on Route 1, which is one of our major highways here in Maine. And it works just fine. It works the same as it does in the Cadillac Escalade and some of the GMC models. So no complaints. Jack, I think other than the price here, I think, you know, if you can deal with the price and you want an Acura, you get the performance and the styling from an Acura, and you get some of the good stuff like a more usable infotainment system here than you did in previous generations. So all in all, I liked it.
I mean, I'm fascinated by a couple of things. One, that General Motors would allow Honda, or Acura in this case, to use their high-tech self-driving feature. I'm also kind of curious as to your thoughts about how many people, like how big a segment is the super high-performance electric SUV segment. I mean, I got to believe that's minuscule, but apparently everybody thinks there's money there.
Yeah, people are buying them, I would assume, because, you know, we kind of shifted from the speed as a side effect of electric vehicles to be speed being the focus of some of these vehicles and that instant acceleration. So I think people are jumping on board. It's definitely a selling point for some.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I was driving a vehicle completely different, or very different, I think, the Genesis GV70, which is a essentially a compact luxury sedan, sports sedan. This vehicle competes with some really good vehicles, the Audi A4, the BMW 3 Series, of course, and the Mercedes-Benz C-Class. I mean, talk about a difficult competition. And yet, I think the G70 really pulls it off. There's a lot to like about this vehicle, and I'll detail that. But it's packed with features. It has heated front and rear seats, 10.25-inch infotainment display that's standard, a bunch of standard stuff. I think they're, one of the ways they're able to compete is by just throwing more content at you. It comes in two trims, the G70 does, the 2.5T, which features a turbocharged 2.5-liter four-cylinder engine, and then the vehicle I was driving, the 3.3T, that has a twin-turbo 3.3-liter V6, and rear drive is standard. All-wheel drive is optional. I had all-wheel drive on the vehicle I had. I think at the base price of about $43,000, the 2.5T is really a steal because it has 300 horsepower, 19-inch alloy wheels, LED lighting. It's just got a ton of stuff. And then as you go up to the 3.3T, which is the top model and the model I had, it starts at about $52,000, which isn't too bad, I think. Just before I started to the specifics of the vehicle I was testing, your reaction and your thoughts about the G70.
Yeah, I fully agree with you on the value proposition here. I mean, 50 grand is not cheap, but when you compare it to the competition, these vehicles are, I mean, I hate to say it, but a bargain compared to some of their competitors. The styling is there and the tech is there. So yeah, totally agree.
Yeah. Cool stuff in the vehicle I had. I'll go through basically what's on the sticker here. For the vehicle that I tested, it was a G70 all-wheel drive 3.3T Sport Prestige, which is the highest level. And it has a total price of $53,350, and that includes the destination charge. Not bad, given the level of luxury here. This is what you get with the Sport Prestige package. Electronically controlled adaptive suspension, limited slip differential, Nappa leather seating surfaces, and I mean, the interior is just blows you away. It's so pretty. Heated rear seats and heated steering wheel, head-up display, surround view monitor, power trunk lid, very luxuriously equipped. Safety tech is very, very strong. Forward collision avoidance, lane keeping assist, blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alert. And as I mentioned, it's got the twin-turbo V6 engine with tons of power. I'll get into that in a little bit. And, you know, some good stuff in terms of the multimedia system. The HD display is terrific. It has Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Interestingly enough, though, those are wired. You have to have that wired connection. What's your take on that? I mean, there's a lot to like, I think, about wireless connections, but it just strikes me that a wired connection isn't such a bad thing.
It's not, you know, even the best wireless systems, there's a little bit of a delay between your input and whatever action you're requesting because it has to communicate with the device and then back and forth. And wireless is almost instant. The connection's reliable. So, I mean, yeah, is it a bummer they don't have it in such a high-end vehicle? Sure, but I think that wired is just fine for most people probably.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about performance and how this thing drives, because I just found it to be a blast. It just seems so nimble, goes where you point it. It feels like a smaller car than it is, which is nice. The twin-turbo V6 has 365 horsepower. 0 to 60 is in about 4.5 seconds, so not as quick as that Type S ZDX that you were driving, but pretty darn fast. 8-speed automatic transmission. All-wheel drive is optional, and it was on the vehicle that I had. I just think handling is terrific. Braking is very solid. Just the performance all around is very solid. It's fun on twisty roads, but it doesn't beat you up when you're driving on the freeways and gives you that, you know, snap and pop that some performance cars do when you're driving in that kind of situation. It's just a fun to drive vehicle. You probably experienced that too, right, Chris?
Yeah, they do dial in enough fun to make it worthwhile, but it's not, like you said, it's not abrupt or shocking in any way.
Yeah. Well, I think we have vehicles that are very likable here. The ZDX, pretty expensive, I think, but otherwise very, very cool. And the G70, I think a bargain in that segment. I mean, a lot of people might opt for a BMW 3 Series or a Mercedes-Benz C-Class, but I'd say take a look at the G70 because it provides a heck of a lot of value. So check that out. And when we come back, we're going to have a great guest. Srini Rajagopalan is the head of customer success at J.D. Power, OEM success. So we'll be talking about electric vehicles and how car makers can do a better job of marketing those to the general public out there. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Check, check, and check. That's the sound of me getting a jump start on my holiday list. But I can't take all the credit. Kohl's makes it too easy. I got my daughter a mini instant camera, my husband his favorite cologne, my sister Koolaburra by UGG slippers, and that's just the beginning. Then I got 20% off some of my other gifts. Yep, it doesn't get better than Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid to November 23rd. Coupons do not apply to Tech, Sephora at Kohl's, and Koolaburra by UGG. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Lowe's honors our military community this Veterans Day and every day. To say thank you, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get 10% off everyday purchases, plus free silver key status with MyLowe's Rewards. It's our way of showing our gratitude to the brave people who have and continue to serve our country. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find bourbons and Cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice, so many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat, grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With curbside pickup and delivery available and the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs, seasoned potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon.
So the first bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. And the second bite is like fresh American cheese sauce. Bacon.
You get the idea. And now, get yours with a dollar any size soft drink. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nered back with you. And we have a terrific guest. He has been on the show before. Srini Rajagopalan is with us. I think I'm pronouncing that kind of right. Tell us your title, Srini, at J.D. Power.
Yeah, I am the managing director for customer success and managing across all OEMs in the U.S. and Canada at J.D. Power.
The reason I wanted to talk to you on the air today is you brought up a very interesting, conundrum that manufacturers are facing. There are kind of two levels of manufacturers here in the EV space, in the electric vehicle space. One are the startups like Tesla, Lucid, and then there are the legacy manufacturers, the typical traditional manufacturers, some of which are 100-plus years old, that are now in the EV space. And they're kind of crossing paths in terms of customers in an interesting way. Why don't you talk to that a little bit, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think when you start to kind of think about what's happened in the auto industry over the last 20 years, I think we've probably seen a significant amount of change, with especially the fact that you now have new auto manufacturers that are set up in the U.S., with something that hasn't happened, I would say, probably since Saturn or so on kind of was set up early on, right? And even that was set up as part of an overall infrastructure. So having these new startups, is a really interesting challenge, because typically auto industry has always been a capital heavy kind of space, and that was a big barrier because of regulations and capital and so on requirements. But with the advent of EVs, technology has kind of brought that down quite a bit. It still requires a lot of capital, but it's something new, something different, and you have a lot of different players entering, not just in the U.S., but even globally, the people who may have kind of been in other industries. And as that space has been evolving and is getting into EVs, at least in the U.S. being closer to 10% of all sales in the market, what that essentially means is the consumers that the startups were going after initially, which are all the early adopters that really wanted that technology, the battery technology, the electronics capability with a screen that controls everything that's happening in your car with over-the-air updates, all that technology, all that really cool capability, that was great. That attracted all of those initial customers.
And these are the kind of people who line up to get the next iPhone, and very tech savvy people, and kind of forgiving about tech, I think, because they're at the leading edge, right?
Yeah. So absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. These are the people, think of those people that, for a while, for people who wanted the latest technology, you had televisions, then it became smartphones, and now cars have essentially become that substitute for people, as most of those are starting to kind of get more, relatively stale, if you will, in terms of just minor updates with every edition. But with cars, and that's where all these startups were at the right place at the right time, with essentially becoming your smartphone on wheels, right? And so kind of leading to this software-defined vehicle, as kind of everybody's talking about, which is essentially it's not just the car is no longer a mechanical, purely mechanical instrument. It's really more of a software plus a mechanical instrument. Yeah, there is, you still need, motor, you still need wheels, you still need a motor, but everything else, a large portion of it is now becoming so much of software-defined, and electronics is defining it. So these people, that was great for them. They were very forgiving with early versions of the vehicle. It did not matter if things had to be fixed. If, you could easily fix those because you could just send an over-the-air update. If update number one didn't work, well, you sent another patch that fixed it, right? And these people were generally more forgiving because that's what we're used to with our smartphones, right? It's like, we know it works most of the time, but every now and then you have to just reboot it. Okay, well, that's the same thing here, right? You just reboot your screen and everything's working perfectly, but it gives you that capability that you never had before, gives you bragging rights and so on. Now, even for those startups, as they are expanding beyond sort of these early adopters, maybe even some of the early fast followers, they're starting to now get into the space where consumers are essentially traditionally being more the mainstream legacy manufacturers. And on the flip side, with regulations, with CARB regulations, ZEV mandates, all of those, EVs have become almost a necessity for all legacy manufacturers. And some of them obviously wanting to, you know, having statements that say they want to go to, you know, reduce emissions as much as possible and changing a lot of their lineup. The concern there obviously for them is if you're going after the same consumer that the startups have, you have to provide something that's over and above the technology and the whiz bang that the startups are providing. Same time, if you want to go after your traditional consumers, then now you have the conundrum of, okay, how do you get them into something? Because they are used to having the vehicle for convenience. How do you convert them into buying an EV that's, yes, it's cool, it's got a lot more capability, can do a lot more things, but is it just as convenient in their lifestyle, in their life, as the traditional ICE vehicle is, right? The car or the SUV that they're used to, you know, driving 50 miles back in from work on the way once a week, you fill up, you don't worry about it. It takes you maybe 5 minutes at most. And, you know, if you want to, you go into the convenience store, grab a soda or a chocolate or something like that at max, right? It's, you're done and you're basically on your way. And now with EV, it's a different experience.
Well, and it's a different experience in a couple of ways, but let's talk about over-the-air updates, because it's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, it allows quick fixes when it works, and it really is a big problem when it doesn't work. And we've seen some situations where it hasn't worked particularly well. Talk about that, would you?
Yeah. So again, over-the-air updates, when it first started, were not necessarily, I would say, mission critical stuff, right? I think it's like, okay, you have an app on the car screen that does not work. Okay, how do you, you know, you basically send another patch that fixes that. Or if your maps aren't working 100%, you have patches that fix.
Or they're updating maps or something like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so new features, new capabilities. So a plus side of that is that within the car that you bought, you're able to provide refreshes with tons of new capability. You're changing the interior, changing a lot of the experience 1 year, 2 years, 3 years after a person buys that, right? Which means you're really giving them what in the traditional vehicle was very difficult to do because everything was mechanical. You have to essentially remove a screen, add something in, or remove a chip and, you know, put something in. So there's a lot of the positives. But when it starts to get to fixes that are either safety critical or for recalls or so on, now that has to be done, right? So there are, you know, a lot of the software recalls that are happening. Again, the benefit is you can push that recall, but again, it shows you that the original patch or the original software wasn't working like it's supposed to. Now you have to fix that software, go figure out how many people are impacted, and then send that patch. Again, the fact that you can then send it to everybody all at once makes life easy, so you don't need a service center where people are lining up and have to kind of make a reservation. So all of that are the positive sides of it. But the negative side is if it doesn't work, it can render something that you are using or that you need to use and can render it almost unusable, may not be the whole vehicle, but at least parts of it. And that causes a big inconvenience, which traditionally you could have just gone to the service center, they have given you a loaner, or, you know, they have fixed you up with a rental car and then go off. And now if you don't have that service center, that's a problem.
I mean, a lot of people gravitated to these direct selling models like Tesla, like mm-hmm. Rivian.
Yep.
Because they didn't have to deal with a dealer. But I think a lot of those folks are finding out, hey, I wish I had a dealer to go to that was within 5 miles of me, but I don't have to go to a service center across town or in some, potentially in a different state.
Yep, exactly. While I would say dealerships get a bad name, I would say, unfortunately, for a lot of reasons, there may be some experiences that are not necessarily ideal. They have their function because certainly they help OEMs with holding inventory. They can be a neutral party where you can negotiate and get things. It can get a little, I would say, tedious at times. So certainly the direct selling model helps. But if you are a manufacturer's new startup, the dealer model does require you to give up a lot of control, does require you to kind of start thinking about, you know, more investments in that space as well, right? So it's easier to kind of think of, I don't want to spend capital on that. I don't want to think about it. I want to go direct to consumer. So certainly that's the benefit. The downside is startups have to carry their own inventory. That's one. The second downside is you have to figure out how to service your customers who may be anywhere in the world, and you can't just pick and choose and say, I'm only going to sell to people in, you know, one zip code, because it's not how it works. And how do you then make sure you have enough service centers for people to essentially take their car where the fix can be done quickly and they're out their way, right? Now you have to essentially plan your whole day, a week, around saying, okay, now I have to drive this across state or across town, go to the service center, not sure if you can get everything serviced on time, and then you kind of go, right?
Crossing your fingers they have the parts, crossing the fingers that the technician hasn't called in sick, all of those things.
Exactly. So that is now they are trying to figure out ways with like mobile service centers that may be able to fix a lot of that stuff, maybe, or at least some of that, right? Some of the easy fixes may be capable where they can send a mobile service center to your house, fix it while it's in your driveway. Now that's, you know, a good model that I think everybody can use, but certainly I think that may solve some problems, but not necessarily all your problems, right? So I think that's the benefit I think of that the legacy manufacturers have with having their well-established dealer franchise model that is pretty ubiquitous, where you could probably get to one within, you know, 20, 30 minutes for most of the people in the U.S.
I mean, a lot of rejectors of EVs, or it's just people contemplating EVs, not just rejectors, but people who adopt EVs, look at charging as a key issue. Tesla has gone to the extent of essentially kind of building a surrogate bunch of gas stations across the country, right? I mean, it's its own gas station network, quote unquote. How do you think that's going to develop going forward, Srini? That's a big pain point for a lot of people.
It is. So from our studies, there are 4 out of the 5 top reasons why people reject EVs, or at least aren't considering it actively, or unlikely to buy one, are related to charging. Right? It's access to charging, it's charging time, convenience of charging, and all of those things. And just the fact that is the charger working or not, right, most of the time. So that is a big pain point, and one that people have to kind of, I would say, think about, get over. Now, it is also true that most people charge at home, right? Or most of the time, it's easy to get a lot of the charging done at home.
I think there's some manufacturers now have joined together, some OEMs have joined together to set up essentially something that's similar to the Tesla Supercharger network. What do you think the prospects of that working are?
I think if it can work, as long, the only thing is anytime you have a variety of manufacturers coming together and agreeing on something, everybody will want their own piece of how it works or how it functions. To me, for, I would say, the share to grow from the sub 8-9% to, you know, maybe a significant amount, certainly this infrastructure piece is absolutely critical part of that.
What do you think the prospects are, you know, from the 35,000 foot level? It strikes me there's a lot of issues. I mean, I love electric cars. I think they're fun to drive. They're interesting. I love the fact they're clean, quiet. They do all kinds of things right. At the same time, I don't think I could ever get by in my family just having an electric car. You know, I need a gasoline car or some other kind of conventional car in my fleet to make things work, fleet being the other car.
Yeah, so I would look at it as, instead of just giving sort of the prospects overall, right? I think the first thing is look at people that have access to charging, like people who have a house, people who have a garage and can set up a charger, at least one of those cars, right? Looking at one of those being an EV is probably the first step. Right? We're still ways away from that being the case. So that's sort of the first hurdle, if you will. Then I think if there's enough charging infrastructure, then you probably can expand to not just people who have a house and a covered parking, but it's people living in condos and, you know, people in apartments and townhouses. That's already happening, but there's more that happens that removes another hurdle. And I think to getting to everybody just being all EVs, I think it's still quite a bit of a ways away.
Srini Rajagopalan, thanks so much for being with us. And maybe I'll do it better the next time we talk. I hope it's soon. And thanks so much for being with us. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it very much.
Stay with us and we will be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest
largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you, and we're so glad you're with us. We do appreciate it. This is our listener question segment, and we love to get your questions and comments. So please send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com, drivingtoday, all one word, .com. Here is a question from Belinda in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And this is what Belinda says. I'm looking to buy an SUV for our family of five, and I'm wondering, what are the best features to look for in a family-friendly SUV, especially for safety, for cargo carrying, and for general family travel?
I would say with five people, Jack, I would consider looking at the rows of seating, right? So, you know, you can fit five people in a two-row SUV, but you're always going to have three people across in the back seat, and it's going to be a little bit of a hassle for them. So a three-row SUV might be something to consider there. As you mentioned, cargo space is definitely a contender on the list of things that you should look at first. You know, if you have pets, if you have large suitcases and things like that, you want to make sure that you have the vertical space as well as the depth in that cargo area to fit those things. And then as much as we sometimes complain about new technology, Jack, I think that some of the in-cabin features that Honda and Toyota and others have put in, such as an in-cabin PA system, cameras so you can watch your kids if they're misbehaving, and then the safety features that help you keep an extra set of eyes and ears on the road when you're driving are all very helpful.
I would say look for those things. That in-car PA is kind of cool if you get onto it, you know, you understand how it works and start using it. It's not good to learn it as you're driving with the family.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that, but those are all good suggestions. And that essentially wraps up our show for this week. Before we go, I'd like to mention my newest book, Dance in the Dark, which is a crime thriller available on Amazon in both ebook and paperback form. Look for that. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you listen to America on the Road and, of course, when. And we're available as a podcast too, right, Chris?
We are. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the others. Like us, download us, leave us a review.
We'd love that. We'd love you to check out our channels on YouTube and Rumble, the America on the Road channels. And our thanks to the Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. We appreciate that. I love terrestrial radio. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening to America on the Road. We do appreciate it. Again, we know you have a lot to listen to, a lot of choices out there. So the fact that you're listening to us honors us very much. We appreciate it. And join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.